This is Sean Bindley's Blues with a Feeling, brought to you by the Aramanga Motel and Caravan Park, smack dab in the middle of the red dirt plains of southwestern Queensland.
G'day there, and welcome to another week of Blues with a Feeling. I'm really looking forward to Eric Bibb being on the show this week. Eric's on his way back to Australia and New Zealand in May for 13 gigs, including shows in five states and territories, including Tasmania. A rare and very cool thing. And shows at Blues on Broadbeach, before ending with gigs at the National Theatre in St Kilda and Upway in Victoria. It was only last year that Eric and his wife Ulrika were in Australia for the first time in quite a while. And the success of that tour now brings them back to us again. Very cool indeed, huh? Now, last year, Eric was on the verge of releasing his latest album, Ridin'. It came out while he was here, in fact, but we didn't really get a chance to dip into it too deeply, chatting as we did before the album came out, apart from that one remarkable song, The Ballad of John Howard Griffin. So I asked Eric if he'd be happy to tell me about the songs on this remarkable release, as he did on his previous record, Dear America, opens the book on some of the untold stories of African-American people emerging from the horrors of slavery and the Jim Crow South. Of course, if you know Eric's music, you're all too familiar with his artistry and love for humanity, and just how beautifully he sings of these things that can be so hard to hear, living in this modern world of 2024. Eric, it's been 12 months since we last spoke on the verge of your first Australian tour in quite a few years, and the soon-to-be-released album Ridin', and 12 months later, Ridin' has got you a Grammy nominee, and the tour in Australia went off fantastically, and you're just a month or so away from returning to Australia for another extensive tour. Fantastic to see you, and it's been a wonderful year, and congratulations.
Thank you. Can't get enough of you guys. It's going to be wonderful to be back, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Now, the first thing I want to ask you about, of course, is Ridin'. You're on the verge of releasing another album. There'll be another live album here with you. But I want to ask you about Ridin', because at the time, I think I only played one song. I only had the one song at that stage. So I'm hoping that you can tell me a bit about this album. Sure. From my understanding, it's a continuance of what you set out to do with your previous record, Dear America, insofar as you're digging really deeply into certain aspects of American history. I'm not saying that you haven't done that before. You certainly have. But this seems to have been a real focus for you on these two albums so far.
That's right. I've been thinking a lot about those choices, and I realized that I'm in a privileged position as an American, African-American, who lives abroad. I've lived in Sweden for most of my adult life, but I grew up in a family that was deeply committed to the civil rights movement of the 60s and 50s. And I realized that to not include my voice in a vital conversation that needs to keep going, if we're going to get anywhere with these issues, I realized that I really had an obligation, a moral obligation, you could say, to chime in and do what I could to encourage people to keep this vital conversation going, particularly at a time when there is a push in certain quarters to delete from the historical record the truth. And that's why I decided that I would include songs that I hope would encourage people to stay with this this issue of dealing with our own past. You know, America has a brutal history of some kind of special apartheid that's a kind of follow-on from the period of slavery. And I think without really taking a good hard look at it and facing it and atoning for it, there's going to be even more divisiveness and conflict. So that was my choice. I don't only write songs about, you know, difficult historical events. I like to encourage people to stay open-hearted, and I write love songs. I write, you know, songs that are slightly humorous sometimes. But without including those serious songs that I was just talking about, I would feel like I was really neglecting my duty.
Won't waste your time trying to sell my point of view. I'll just tell you so you know who I am. Just a wee bit more. Getting to know each other, it's what life is for. I am like you, woman born. I am like you, child of God. You are like me, here to learn from history. You are like me, family. Open our eyes, call a spade, someone making money by keeping us afraid, afraid of each other. Back in time we might have been brothers from a different mother, they called it a sin. I am like you, born of a woman. I am like you, a child of God. You are like me, here to learn from history. You are like me, family. I am like you, woman born. I am like you, a child of God. To learn from history, you are like me.
And the reason I called it Riding was inspired by a painting originally that I came across by a man named Eastman Johnson, who in 1862 painted a lovely portrait of a family escaping slavery on horseback. And the title of that painting is A Ride for Liberty. And that really resonated with me. And I thought about these people on horseback riding to a place, a safer place in the north, I imagine, on horseback. And it reminded me of the whole freedom ride, as they say. There were students from northern cities, university students, mostly from New York, Philadelphia, Boston, who in the 60s, during the height of the civil rights movement at that time, were recruited to travel to the southern states, Mississippi, et cetera, to help with voter registration, helping African Americans who were disenfranchised from voting rights, helping them to register for votes. It was a dangerous endeavor. I wrote a song that's on a coming album about three such students from the North who were murdered. Goodman, Schroen, and Cheney were their names. But these people were brave, courageous, and they were on a mission, and they were called freedom riders because they rode buses and trains to the South, and they were trying to alter the course of American segregation, you know. So the riding theme became something that I felt could tie a whole album together, you know. And not all of the songs were about the civil rights movement, but that's a big focus point, yeah.
Trains in the station won't be stopping long, won't be coming back this way, coming back this way again. No, don't miss this chance to face and understand the past, 'cause the truth will set you free, my friend. Lord, Lord, the truth will set you free, my friend. Lord, arriving on this freedom train, riding on to Memphis, where they killed a king, remember that. Derailed for a while, but now we're back on track. Lord, Lord. Stopping in Rosewood, picking up survivors. Lord, 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 when you be riding, Lord, we're riding on the freedom train. Lord, my country too. Starving in muddy Mississippi, thinking about Emmett Till. Y'all remember Emmett Till? When you be riding, riding on your freedom train. When you be riding, riding on your freedom train. Come go with me to that land. Come on, stand by me, Lord. Freedom train.
This is Blues with a Feeling with Sean Binley, and I'm Eric Bibb. Stay tuned.
There's a song called Blues Funky Like That, a banjo-driven tune, which is quite funky. And I brought along my dear friend, I call him my big brother, Taj Mahal, on that song. He plays some harmonic and some vocal asides, but his presence is always a wonderful addition to any piece of music. As I said, he's a bit of a hero and mentor for me. I also included on that particular song the next generation of younger African-American blues musicians. His name is John Tavius Willis, somebody that I've become aware of and have met on the road, somebody that Taj is aware of and has also met at certain, you know, blues venues and blues cruises. So both of us, Taj and I, know this younger player, John Tavius, who is from Georgia, a wonderful purveyor of country blues, a lovely person as well. So you have the younger John Tavius, you have me in the middle, and Taj, our elder statesman, you know, in this trio of blues guys who are telling this funky little blues story about a preacher who also loves the blues.
Hey. I knew a preacher from Atlanta, Georgia. He was a preacher's son. Sunday morning in the pulpit with the spirit. Friday night, heaven is funky like that. Blues funky like that. Well, he wore Stacy Adams shoes, Stetson hat. And when he'd had enough whiskey, he'd sing the blues funky like that. Blues funky like that. He told me, son, in every sinner, and there's a little bit of saint. In every saint there's a little sinner. Funky like that. Church on Auburn, and you could hear it rock. The Hallelujah corner clapping so loud, way down the block. Funky like that. Real funky like that. Blues funky like that.
From the very first song, And to tell the truth, people, I don't think I've been in church that long. The collection plate was full, so he pulled off his hat. He said, feel the bottom, cause you know the blues, they funky like that. We piled up around each other. People crying, but they ain't sad. How in the world did that man make folks give them everything that they had? Cause it funky like that.
No, no.
Blues funky like that.
Well,
the blues, they funky like that.
Come on, come on, come on, come on.
Blues funky like that. Funky like that. Mm-hmm. Blues funky like that.
Hey.
Cause it funky like that.
Yeah, 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 well.
Well, I reckon now's a good time to tell you about a good man who tried to help the world find and understand that it's so wrong to judge another by the color of their skin. That good man's name, John Howard Griffin. John was a white man who just had to know how it feels to be a black man in the land of Jim Crow. So he underwent treatments to turn his skin dark brown. Then he headed down south to take a look around. It's a crazy idea, folks said, you get yourself killed. But John found a doctor who prescribed special pills, and he laid under the sun lamp, cotton pads on his eyes, till one day in a mirror he saw a man he didn't recognize. He knew he'd meet some hard times, but it really got a shock. Life as a black man was harder than a rock. I couldn't find a job, even a restroom to use. I'm talking about that Jim Crow and Jim Crow blues. They burnt his effigy, had to move to Mexico to protect his family. A few years later, back in the land of the free, while John was on a road trip in Mississippi, his car broke down, and as he wondered what to do next, some locals showed up and beat him half to death. John with chains for educating the nation. Being a truth-sayer is a dangerous occupation. Some cheered his dedication to a world free of hatred. Others cursed the man, yelling, "You're a goddamn traitor." So I reckon it's a good time to remember black like me, written by a good man who believed in equality. Believed it's wrong to judge another by the color of their skin. That good man's name, John Howard Griffin.
Oh, was a man. Remember John Howard Griffin. About that man, John Howard Griffin.
Thanks to the Aramanga Motel in Caravan Park, on the long-forgotten shores of the Aramanga Sea in southwestern Queensland, playing music washed in the muddy waters of the Mississippi and beyond. This is Sean Binley's Blues with a Feeling.
It really is a stunning story, and I don't think there's a better artist capable of telling that story than my guest this week, Eric Bibb, the Ballad of John Howard Griffin. Previous to that, Blues Funky Like That, the title track of this Grammy-nominated album, Ridin', and the opening song, Family. An absolute thrill for me to be joined by Eric again this week. I first spoke to him when he made his initial visit to Australia over 20 years ago, and his music has been such a part of not just this program's life, but my own ever since. He began his career, growing up as he did, in the belly of the protest movement in the 60s, and he's become one of the very best at uncovering the truth, the horrors of life for coloured people in America, and turning those songs into living, breathing history, forever shining lights where too often there has been nothing but shadow.
It's not all songs about new hats and shoes with buckles, is it?
No, but I love songs that are lighter, especially when it comes to, you know, it's funny, the whole tradition that I feel I'm a part of, whole finger-picking country blues ragtime genre that kind of has become my foundation. There's a lot of all kinds of songs that are included in that tradition, and songs about, you know, jaunty dressed guys, you know, in buckled shoes and slick hats. That's me too, you know, and I enjoy kind of taking a break from the heavier subjects with songs like that. So I'm hoping that people recognize that. You know, I really resist the way people sometimes talk about political songs and protest songs. It's really not political. It becomes political in the hands of politicians who either seek to unite or divide people. But really, we're just talking about life, the way we treat each other, and the way we've been historically towards each other, I think is the human narrative. And it's not politics. It's just, it's a moral tale.
If you miss the train I'm on, then you'll know I'm gone. Lord, I'm 500 miles from my home. 500 miles, 500 miles, 500 miles, 500 miles. Lord, I'm 500 miles from my home. Not a shirt on my back, not a penny to my name. Lord, I can't go home this away. This away. This away. This away. This away. Lord, I can't go home this away. Lord, I'm one, Lord, I'm two.
100 miles from my home, from my home. 500 miles, 500 miles. Lord, I'm 500 miles from home. If you miss the train I'm on, then you'll know I'm gone. Lord, I'm 500 miles from my home. 500 miles, 500 miles. Lord, I'm 500 miles. Yes, I'm 500 miles from my home. Lord, I'm 500 miles from my home.
We spoke extensively about the Ballad of John Howard Griffin last time you were here, so I don't want to ask you about that again, but that in and of itself is just an incredible piece of American history. But I know a little about Tulsa. Tell me how you've heard about this terrible, terrible piece of American history.
Well, it's interesting. I'll tell you the origins of my involvement with the whole subject of Tulsa and the massacre that took place in 1921. But what I wanted to start out with saying was social media. I actually stumbled across something not very long ago on YouTube, I reckon it was, or it could have been Facebook, where the actor Tom Hanks, very celebrated actor with a lot of awareness, obviously, you can see that from the roles he chooses. He was actually talking about Tulsa and the massacre that took place. And he was upset that he had never really heard about this before. Yeah. He's, you know, of the age that he is. And he said, why didn't I learn about this in school? And why did it take me so long to come across this very important event in American history? So I was gratified to know that a guy like him, who's in another world, in you know, La La Land, making films, that he was concerned that this story had slipped by and that people were not aware of it. And for somebody of his stature to start talking in those terms, I thought was really encouraging. I came onto the Tulsa story by researching another massacre, the story of Rosewood, a little town in Florida. I wrote a song called Rosewood. A little town in Florida, an African-American community that was doing quite well and obviously grated against the sensibilities of the surrounding white community. And eventually people took action. They burnt the town to the ground. That was the upshot of it. And people were dispersed, hiding in the swamps until they could get away. There's an encouraging note in that story. It seems that two brothers, not African Americans, so-called white people, commandeered a train to help women and children escape from the swamps around Rosewood to other parts of Florida. They were not able to help men folk because that would have put them on the firing line of their own people, who would have called them even more traitorous. But the Rosewood story was something that I researched online. I found personal account by one of the survivors of the Rosewood Massacre. This happened in 1923. And as I was researching that, I also, as you do when you see things online, it refers you to something that's related. And they talked about a similar massacre in Tulsa, Oklahoma, that had happened 2 years earlier. And so both songs actually came to me via research on the net. And in Tulsa, what happened was, again, there was a community of African-American people who had struck out west, you know, from the American South in the aftermath of the Civil War, and eventually a prosperous community came into being. So prosperous in Tulsa, Oklahoma, that people referred to it as Black Wall Street, meaning that they were, you know, people who were doing well financially and, yeah, committed people to a community that was focused on moving on up. And this, again, grated with the surrounding community of paler folks. And they were looking for an excuse to do something destructive, and they found it. I think some man, African-American man, was accused of something, and he was jailed in the county jail or in the city jail. And the mob attempted to free him, and maybe did, with the intent of lynching him. Anyhow, members of the African-American community tried to defend this person, and the conflagration that resulted ended up with the destruction of the whole community. So Black Wall Street, the whole avenue of Greenwood Avenue, as it was called, was burnt to the ground, and many people were killed, and many more people were homeless and were forced to flee Tulsa, never to return. So that event sparked the song Tulsa Town. And again, we're living in a time when there is a huge push to delete from the historical record true stories, you know, that kind of revisionism that happens sometimes, where people decide that, no, you don't need this information. We're going to write the history the way we see it, not the way it really happened. People are burning books in certain quarters. So I felt like, okay, well, you can write a song and that song can be shared, and you can't really delete a song from somebody's memory. So yeah, it's a way of countering this revisionism that I see it put.
Greenwood Avenue, Tulsa Town, called it Black Wall Street. Not just surviving, business was thriving. Life was sweet. Proud to be helping each other. Everyone lent me a hand. Built our own promised land on holy ground in Tulsa Town. Finally, white folks couldn't stand. Found a reason to attack. Hundreds dead, thousands were homeless. Some never came back. A century later, I remember like it was yesterday. They burnt Black Wall Street down to the ground in Tulsa Town. I
wonder why
nobody told you, why they never taught it in school, keeping truth about race from the history page is not the exception, it's been a rule. I see a change in the minds of the young ones, standing up, speaking up, speaking out about things like the massacre. Tulsa Town, Greenwood Avenue, Tulsa Town, they called it Black Wall Street. Not just surviving, business was thriving, life was sweet. I'm so proud to be a survivor of that brave community.
Wall Street
will thrive again in the 21st century on holy ground in Tulsa Town. In Tulsa Town.
Thank you.
You're listening to Sean Binley on Blues with a Feeling, and this is Eric Dibb.
Some wonderful, wonderful guest artists, as well as the ones I mentioned. Russell Malone is a masterful guitarist, known for his jazz style of playing. He's played with everybody from Jimmy Smith to Ron Carter to Diana Krall. He's known for his recordings with her. A brilliant exponent of that kind of jazz guitar that Wes Montgomery pioneered, Grant Green, those kind of people, Kenny Burrell. So Russell is a brilliant, also from Georgia apparently, a brilliant musician who I'd heard on recordings. And when I wrote the song, The Ballad of John Howard Griffin, my producer, my wonderful producer, Glenn Scott, said, you know, it would be great to get like a kind of blues jazzy guitar player of note as a guest on this. Who are you thinking? And I said, well, you know, I opened for George Benson not so long ago. He's somebody we might think about. But there's also Russell Malone, who I'm a big fan of. And he said, do you know where he's from? I said, well, I think he lives in New Jersey. And I know that he's a friend of and colleague of Ron Carter, who was a guest on Dear America album. So maybe we could reach out to Ron Carter and get contact details to Russell, which we did, and negotiations followed. And, you know, he said, yes, I'm interested, send me the track. And we did, and he said, I like it. Russell ended up playing on two songs, The Ballad of John Howard Griffin and a song called Hold the Line, playing beautifully. So I'm just so happy to have a musician of his stature and celebrity, you know, on my album. Yeah. He's just another one of those wonderful players who just seems to know exactly what to do on a track, you know. You want players who can bring their own personality, their own style, but also who can fit in with your vision, musical vision of a particular song. He did that in spades.
Lately, I've stopped thinking in fighting terms. War is not the way I choose. But the world right now looks like a battleground where every one of us stands to lose. Holding, holding, holding the line. Holding, sometimes holding is all. Plaguing so many souls out there. Far as I can see, the only remedy is a tidal wave of love everywhere.
Listening to Sean Binley's Blues with a Feeling.
From his Grammy-nominated 2023 release, Ridin', that's my guest this week, Eric Bibb. Eric, of course, is on his way to Australia and New Zealand for gigs throughout May and very early in June. Details and tickets from Eric's website, ericbibb.com, where they are already selling fast. That was Holding the Line, and in there as well, Tulsa Town and 500 Miles. Thanks for tuning in or downloading the show again this week, and for liking, following, and commenting on the Facebook pages, Sean Bindley's Blues with a Feeling, and for sharing it with your friends. And of course, my love and gratitude to the Aramanga Motel and Caravan Park in southwest Queensland, where dinosaurs once walked the earth, and the legends of the blues live on in our dreams.
Sunhouse came to me in a dream, and he was singing just like this. I got my own railroad car, sitting out there in the backyard. It's always there, rain or shine. You might not think I'm going far, but sitting out in that railroad car, I'm going plenty places in my mind. got my own, don't need yours. I got the keys to all the doors. I've been puked and I've been scorned, but I got my own. Got my own airplane on my very own runway. Silver wings shining in the morning sun. You might not believe I can fly, but that's me up in the sky. I'll be flying when your flying days are done. I got my own, don't need yours. I got the key to all the doors. Now I've been puked and I've been scorned, people, but I got my own. Walking in Memphis the other day, man tried to sell me some old beat up Cadillac. Any fool could tell, was on his last go round. I said, I appreciate your offer, sir, but that's my new Lincoln parked by the curb. Yes, it is. Now I must be going. I got a meeting with the mayor downtown. I got my own highway to victory. Where I'm going, I can clearly see. No use trying, no use trying to block my road. Can't slow me down. No, you can't turn me around. I got my own highway to victory, and I'm on my way. I got my own railroad car sitting out there in my backyard. I've been here, it's gone so hard, but I got my own.
Steve Jordan, the drummer's drummer, doesn't get any better.
Yes, we met Steve in New York for sessions on the Dear America album. And my producer just thought, wow, Steve Jordan, what a great drummer. Let's include him on the Ryden album as well. And that happened. And a great player, again, just somebody who makes you sound great, When you get a drummer who can up your game just by his presence and his groove, which Steve does, you know, it's a blessing. It's a blessing. There's another guitarist who's featured on the album. He's lesser known than Russell Malone. His name is Amar Sundi. He's of Tuareg origin. These are nomadic tribes in North Africa. But he lives in France, and I've met him on tour many times and befriended him. A great blues guitarist who spent some time apprenticing in Chicago with some very famous blues guys back in the day. So, yeah, the list goes on. Wonderful, wonderful players. Some of them well-known, some of them not. But I'll just mention there's a wonderful fiddler. His name is Esbjorn Haselius. He's featured on the Raiden album on several tracks. And he's also on the new album that I'm ready to release soon, a live album. A great player. There is no end to beautiful musicians. I collect them, you know.
When panthers roam the delta, I drained your swampy land. I built your railroads with a hammer in my hand. I picked your cotton, cut your sugar cane. I'm a man, not your boy. You will call me by my name.
I fought with the Rough Riders on that hill down in Cuba. Dug that canal in Panama, nearly died of yellow fever. In 1917, Uncle Sam called, I came. I'm a man, not your boy. You will call me by my name.
I joined your segregated army to make the world free. But back home in Alabama, they tried to tar and feather me. Some say it's changing,
well,
but the things remain the same. I'm a man, not your boy. Call me by my name. Your coon, not your Negro. Fact is, I might be your kin.
My labor made this country, and I'm an equal citizen.
Lord knows I'm still here to stake my claim.
I'm a man, not your boy.
You will call me by my name.
I'm a man, not your boy. Call me by my name.
By my name. What's my name?
Mister. Yeah.
Hi, this is Eric Bibb, and you're listening to Blues with a Feeling with Sean Bindley.
Another one I wanted to ask you about is Joy Bells. This is another one that really stood out for me. We know over the years, when wars have been fought against popular opinion, one of the ways that governments have changed their mind about their participation in the war is once we start to make plain the names of the people that have perished in these battles. This was a very important part in having the Vietnam War ended, the fact that people's names were being added to monuments and people could go and see them. Can you tell me about Joy Bells and how you put this song together and what it means?
Yes. I was struck by the fact that, again, the very brutal chapter in American history where many, many African-American, particularly men, but not only men, were lynched, and that people were not really, in general, not enough people were aware of this fact. And I thought about the monuments in Washington that, as you say, you know, featured the names of fallen soldiers from the Vietnam War. And I was thinking, well, where are the names of other victims of war. And there definitely was a war, a continuing war in some quarters against African-Americans. And I felt like there were brave people who had stood up to Jim Crow and tried to make changes, you know, in the way that African-Americans were treated as citizens. And those names need remembering as well. We need to remember the fact that it happened. We need to remember the fact that their families and communities suffered greatly. And I just felt like, yeah, where's that monument with the names of all of these lynched people? And I came across, again, online, a site that talked about, I believe, an archive that was assembled in Alabama, the state of Alabama. Somebody had done a lot of research and compiled the names of many, 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 many people who were lynched at the hands of racists. And the names in that archive became basically the core of the song Joy Bells. And yeah, as I said, you know, it's funny, you know, songs are supposed to entertain, but I really feel that art in general, and songs for sure, music, can also be educational because it's a way of sharing information that maybe people would miss. Maybe people don't read as much as I read, but maybe they come across a playlist on one of the streaming platforms that talks about something like that chapter in American history of lynching. So yeah, I'm happy to be in a position to have a voice that can share these kind of stories. And I think there's a lot of positive response to those kinds of songs. You know, people tell me, you mentioned John Howard Griffin, the Ballad of John Howard Griffin. People just send me emails and tell me, wow, I never heard of this story. I'm so glad you brought it to my attention. So I'm happy to be a storyteller who can share important stories.
Joy bells keep ringing in my heart, in my heart. Joy bells keep ringing in my heart, in my heart. Voices keep singing to my heart, to my heart. Voices keep singing to my heart, to my heart.
And I see thousands of names carved in stone, names of fallen soldiers fighting for freedom. What we told them, now they're gone with their names carved in stone. I think, where are the names of the ones hung from a branch who never had a chance? No, no. While the crowd smiled at the camera, listen, while the smiling crowd looked into the camera.
Joy bells keep ringing in my heart, in my heart. Joy bells keep ringing in my heart, in my heart. Voices keep singing to my heart, to my heart. Voices keep singing to my heart, to my heart.
Owen Wright, Mark Woodford, Ben Evans, Daniel McBride, Dave Benson, Bill King, Squire Smith, Shave Thompson, Albert Brooks, Henry Ivey, Jack Turner, Leonard Coker, John Brooks, Samuel Lewis, George Ware, Kyle Walker, Wesley Brown, Lewis Houston, Joe Robertson, Andy Burke, George Ward, Alexander Reed, John Hart, John Davis, Oscar Coburn, Theodore Calloway, Calvin Moody, Frank Stone.
Can you imagine the terror they felt? Not just the thousands of doomed brothers, but their mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, wives, daughters, sons, neighbors, who somehow carried on.
Voices keep on singing.
Voices keep singing to my heart.
Meadow, John Sleet, Bud Wilson, Robert Wilson, Frank Griffin, Tom Williams, Jim Tate, Henry Smith, John Dancy, Elrod Hudson, Jeff Denver, Zachariah Gray, Monroe Waters, Jeff Thomas, Mac Brown, Jesse Underwood, Ray Porter, James Sims, John Brown, Harry Hinton, John Johnson, William Webb, Barry Roden, Jim Roden, Will Carter, Jim Packard, John Packard, Moses Johnson, John Sleet, Bud Wilson, Robert Mosley, Frank Griffin, Tobe Williams, Jim Tate, Henry Smith, John Dan.
You didn't win the gong, but you got your third Grammy nomination, and that's a pretty significant acknowledgement from the, not just the industry, but the wider listening public, that they're really enjoying what you're doing. You enjoy that kind of gratification? Is it meaningful to you?
Yeah, you know, it was I've been nominated three times, but only two times in my own name. The Migration Blues album in 2016 was Grammy nominated, and the Rolling Stones won that year. They had a blues album out at that time. The first time I was Grammy nominated, I was in a group of people, Taj Mahal included, Linda Tillery and the Cultural Heritage Choir, a children's album called Shaking a Tail Feather. But in my own name, I've been nominated twice. And yes, it's very, very prestigious, that award, an American Grammy. And I'm, you know, happy that I've been nominated twice in my own name. It's quite an honor. As I said, you know, whether you win or not, just to be nominated is, I think, a wonderful thing. And, you know, awards are important insofar as being recognized by your own peers. That really does boost your whole motivation and your sense of confidence. And I enjoyed it, being there at the awards and seeing my album cover there up on the big screen. And we'll see what happens going forward. But I don't live for awards. I live for the music and for the music lovers that have become my fans. Yeah.
We'll be right back.
gonna run to all on that day. Old Santa Man, where you gonna run to all on that day? Run to the rock, rock, won't you hide me all on that day? Run to the rock, rock, won't you hide me all on that day? Don't sit in a man, a rock will be a melting all on that day. Sits in a man, rock will be a melting all on that day. See, won't you hide me all on that day? Run to the sea. See, won't you hide me all on that day? Lord, said Cinnamon, she'll be a boiling all on that day. That's in a man, she'll be a boiling all on that day. You hide me all on that day. Satan, Satan, won't you hide me all on that day? Satan said, send a man, step right in, step right in. Satan said, send a man, step right in all on that day. Come on. Oh, cinnamon, where you gonna run to all on that day? Yeah. Oh, sinner man, so where you gonna run to all on that day? All on that day. All on that day. Here we go. All on that day.
Ankle deep in the red dirt on the shores of the Aramanga Sea. This is Sean Binley's Blues with a Feeling. Thanks to the Aramanga Motel and Caravan Park in southwestern Queensland.
That was my guest this week, Eric Bibb, from his 2023 release, Writing Cinnamon, the song, recorded live at the Wheatland Festival, and previous to that, Joy Bells, Call Me By My Name, and I Got My Own. Thank you.
about the things weighing on my mind. Walking with the shackles I can't seem to leave behind. He said, brother, don't worry, one thing I know is true. If you hold on to what you got, it reminds you of who you are. You free. When you let go of what you're not and remind the world of what you got, you're free. It started sounding like a preacher. I was listening cause his words rang true. Walking through the park, I was hearing a sermon I knew. Said, brother, don't get weary, this I know is true. If you hold on to what you got, that reminds you who you are, you free. When you let go of what you're not and remind the world of what you got, you free. Yeah. Nothing in the world can hold you down, though the world will try. If your faith is strong, you can't go wrong. You're bound to fly up high.
Tell me about the new album. The next one's going to be a live album. So if I've calculated correctly, would this be perhaps album number 41 for Eric Bibb?
That could be. I've lost count.
There's been a few.
I think somewhere up in there. I've been, as people say, I've been prolific. And I don't think of it so much as prolific as just being somebody who really enjoys recording and sharing new songs. And I've done that, you know, for decades. So the albums have piled up. The new album is called Live at Scala Theater. It's a theater, a lovely little theater in Stockholm, where we recorded an album a year ago or so. And we filmed it and we recorded it. And my producer, Glenn Scott, did an amazing job mixing it. And it's one of my best records, I think, because it really is a moment in time captured, like a, you know, a long snapshot. And the interaction between myself and the musicians who are with us and the audience, I think, is really palpable. And I'm really looking forward to sharing this album. It was a very ambitious project, Sean. I mean, some tunes not only feature the band, which was, you know, including a pedal steel player, wonderful guitarist, fiddler I mentioned, Esbjorn, but some tunes actually include a separate string quartet. And that's really exciting for me to perform live with strings, you know. As I said, it was an ambitious project. Logistically, we pull a lot of things together. And the fact that we only had one night to do it, you know, usually when you do a live album, you try to get two nights in the same venue so that you can pick and choose the best of two performances. But this was like the hot seat, like, this is it. You got to get it right. And it turned out really good.
People you love pass on, but they're not gone. The ones who love you stay by your side. They watch, they pray, they show you the way. Every day they bring heaven closer to you. Back home, still we're not alone. Somehow they're with us, for love never dies. They watch, they pray, they show you the way. Heaven closer to me and you.
Seeing you here again. The tour kicks off on the 9th of May in Auckland, a couple of gigs in New Zealand, one in Auckland, yeah, and one in Christchurch, and then you're back in Australia starting in Wollongong on Wednesday the 15th of May. Where's the best place for people to go to find out about the gigs and to order their tickets? I know you've got shows at the Broadbeach Festival coming up as well.
Yes, that's going to be one of the big gigs. I've been to Broadbeach before and really enjoyed being there. Great festival, so looking forward to that. But all of the gigs are beckoning me. You know, I love touring out there. My website, I think, has all the dates, so you can find them there. And I'll make sure that you have that so that you can share that information. I'm just really, really chuffed about being able to come back so soon. I don't usually come back every year. It's been a bit of a gap between my visits, but I'm hoping we're going to make it a yearly thing.
You've been such a part of this program since I started presenting it 30 years ago, and you've been kind enough to be my guest and suffered through my humbling handling of the various technologies that present themselves to me for the best part of 25 years. And the shows that you've put on are some of my most favorites. And so many of your songs have made such a difference to me. I've waxed lyrical to you before about For You and stuff like that. I'm not going to do that again, but it gives me great joy to share the fact that you're going to be here and encourage my friends to see you. And you've got so many fans here in Australia who can't wait to see you, Eric. So,
well, it's mutual. It's a love affair. And, you know, I can't talk enough about how wonderful it is, you know, to be on a plane going to Hobart and the guy next to me says, "Oh, welcome back, Eric." You know, it's like, wow. Big in Hobart, you know.
Yeah, that's fantastic, isn't it? And of course, Ulrika, your wife will be with you again.
You will. My wonderful wife, who is a beautiful singer and who was featured on my solo gigs on the last tour. Yeah. And she will, again, join me on some songs on this tour. And she's really looking forward to meeting her fans because she's got quite a following there already. She made quite an impression on the people who were at our gigs the last time around. So we'll be there. And can't wait.
Thank you, my friend. As always, I appreciate your time. And I can't thank you enough for the influence, the art, the beautiful music that you've presented over 50 years. I hate to say that kind of word these days, but you've made such a difference in my life and in so many lives. Please keep it up. We appreciate you.
Yeah.
And we can't wait to see.
Your encouragement is gold. So thank you.
Celebrating 30 years in 2024 of Blues With A Feeling. It's been quite the ride, as I'm sure you'd agree. Riding as we are with my guest Eric Bibb this week, as I feature songs from Eric's acclaimed 2023 release, ending with Church Bells, and before that, People With Love and Free. Thanks again to Eric and Ulrika for holding my hand when I needed it and pulling the show together. I'm a lucky man to be able to share this music with you every week. So thanks to you for listening and making it possible. As promised, I'll leave you with a song from Eric's soon-to-be-released new live album, Live at the Scala Theatre in Stockholm. And in doing so, wish you an excellent week. Get your tickets, okay? And hold them close.
A dime, giving up this old world, leaving it behind. But after all my hard traveling, things is about coming my way. When I was sick,
my bed. My friends forgot me, thought I was dead. But after all, my heart traveling, things is about coming my way. Traveling, they'll need your help again. Because after all, my heart traveling, things is about coming my way. Baby, just as I am, ain't got no money, I'm in a jam. But after all, my heart traveling, things is about coming my way.
Thank you so much. You know it's true.